You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, it's at least Wednesday, which means you're closer to the weekend. It's November 3rd. It's the Sports Hangover. I'm Gus Kattengill with you. Thank you for tuning us in. Something tells me today, buddy, might be busy on the phone lines. Or will you? I don't know. Is it shocking, the latest news from Saints camp? It's not good, I guess. In terms that you were hoping for some reinforcements at the wide receiver position and you're not getting
it. Uh-oh. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
Hey, it's head coach Sean Payton. He was asked some very important questions this morning. He had his Wednesday press conference already, or conference call rather. The Saints have turned a page on to Atlanta. The Dirty Birds. It's Falcon Hate Week. 6-point favorites, your New Orleans Saints. How about words of wisdom?
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
So you have to look at it, man. You got to look at the positive things in life, honestly. Right? At least the weather's beautiful. Gonna feel like fall all week. Might get a little chilly. Jordan, you may need a little sweatshirt, little hoodie in your walking class tomorrow. After a little rain, cooler temps. 40s on the North Shore on the way. 64 degrees, absolutely gorgeous outside. Window is open in the studio. The phone lines are as well. 800-998-1003. Coming up on today's show, Larry Holder of The Athletic at 12:15 will discuss the Michael Thomas news. Scott Prather at 12:30, get a touch on Acadiana, see how people over there are reacting. Also, coming up at 1:05, we didn't get a chance to get him yesterday. Coach got busy. Head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave going to try to call in at the top of next hour. Sean Fox, 1:30, and Ralph Marlboro, 2:15. We may see Maddie as well in the 2 o'clock hour. She's been coming in on Wednesdays to talk about the black and gold. So let's just get right to it, right? It's a very simple start and lead, I guess, when you look at it from the day. So here we go.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, so let's give you a timeline here. Yesterday, the NFL trade deadline came and went. Reports, remember the last hour of the show, were that the Saints were making phone calls, but most of those phone calls were coming for receiver, not quarterback. And this morning, Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network, Good Morning Football, had an update as to what was going on and really why perhaps the Saints were making such phone calls. And that's what he had to say.
My understanding, Kay, is that Michael Thomas, the Saints star receiver, who's been on the PUP list as of now and right now from the entire season, he is dealing with a new and separate ankle injury. Remember, he had ankle surgery this spring that put him on the sidelines through the beginning of the season. He now has a new issue, and I'm told in the last couple of days he saw a specialist to try to ascertain when is he going to be back and what issues in fact need to be fixed. I talked to a source informed of the situation about when he is going to be able to be back. I was told it is unpredictable. So if you were wondering why the Saints behind the scenes tried to trade for a receiver yesterday, why they talked to several teams about a potential deal that never ended up happening, this is why, because we do not know when Saints receiver Michael Thomas is going to be able to be on the field because of a new issue in his ankle.
So again, that was this morning. Having breakfast, getting the kids out to school, getting ready for work. That's this morning. Then 3 hours ago, so do the math, around 9 a.m. just before head coach Sean Payton spoke with local media, Michael Thomas posted the following. I have always been a man of faith. In these past few months, my faith has truly been tested. As many of you know, early last season, I injured my ankle, worked extremely hard over the next few months to get back in time to finish the season. Unfortunately, the rehab didn't go as planned. And earlier this offseason, it was apparent I would need to have a procedure to repair the injury. Since then, the team and I have worked diligently day and night to rehab and get me back on the field. Unfortunately, there has been another small setback, which we'll have to address. To my displeasure, I will not be able to make it back in time for the season, but will do everything in my power to get back to the player I have always been. I know God doesn't make mistakes, so I will continue to follow in his path. I can't wait to be back on the field in front of the best fans in the planet. It's Michael Thomas tweeting that his season is done. Head coach Sean Payton, then meeting with local reporters in his conference call this morning, was asked about the Michael Thomas situation.
I think it's accurate to say that there was a setback, and it wasn't anything of his. He's working his tail off, and the setback had more to do with the procedure he had initially that was just done, and as they went through the scans, there's a chance that he may have to have another procedure done. And so I can't call in and have Dr. Anderson get on the call with us and explain to you, but I think that Michael is working his tail off to get healthy and get and become available, and I think that this isn't anything he can control, and so this has more to do with the tightrope procedure, and what that is a procedure that strengthens the ankle after, you know, you've had a significant injury to that area. So the setback is really surgically related, and we'll kind of go from there.
So was the surgery not done properly, or was this sort of part of the risk of doing it? Could this be perhaps the reason Michael Thomas put off surgery, or the team did? Or again, depending on how you look at it, it kind of came across that in June, the team would have liked him to have had the procedure earlier. Looked like Thomas and them were trying to avoid this. Could this be the reason why? Could this have been explained on the onset? And the only reason I say that is because you hear Sean Payton say, it's not like I can get Dr. Thomas on. If he would have thought it was a Dr. Frankenstein sort of situation where the doctor botched it, I don't know if he would refer to him like that. So it makes me believe, and again, I'm just deducing here. We'll ask Larry if he can get more insight on this next segment. But I'm just wondering if this is perhaps why he didn't immediately get surgery on the ankle, because of this fear or this risk. But it's a logical question to ask. Well, if he would have had surgery earlier, coach, and this were to happen, would he have maybe still been able to play this season? In other words, say you have the surgery in February, because he had it in June, we're in November. So July, August, September, October, November, 5 months. Say he has it in February, March, April, May, June, July. He'd have been ready for training camp, start of the season perhaps. I don't know. I believe it was Catherine Terrell of The Athletic that did ask about the timeline and say if he would have had surgery earlier this calendar year, would it helped him get back for the season? Sean's response.
Yeah, I mean, you're going back to if that happened earlier and then this now happened. I mean, look, he's had a surgery. And right now, he's having complications with the current surgery that was done. So, listen, it is what it is. I know he's working his tail off to get back out there. And, I mean, you're going back to the original. So, if you're doing a timeline, you know, knock yourself out.
Look, I think it's logical to believe, obviously, it was done earlier in the calendar year, and he suffers a setback and needs to have another procedure. You would have, but again, we're in November. Got 9 games left, right? Or 10 games left. And So if he's done for the year, that means it's another 2 month recovery, three. I mean, done for the season. It wasn't, hey, I'll be back in January. Hey, I hope to be back towards the end of the year. Hey, maybe you'll see me in the postseason. That's not what was said. So this appears to be a multi-month recovery. So I think regardless, if you had in February, 5 months puts it at July, August, say setback, you're still looking at this. It's just an unfortunate thing. I don't know how else to really look at it. But of course, yesterday, the reports of them trying to go look. Adam Schefter had a report that the Saints did call the Cleveland Browns about former LSU Tiger Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm sure Odell Beckham Jr. would have loved to have been in Louisiana playing with the Saints, playing on a team that right now is coming off a huge win. It didn't happen. The Browns wanted too much right now. The Saints were unwilling to meet the price. Odell Beckham Jr. stays in Cleveland, and I can imagine what those questions will be like for him tomorrow should he be asked questions from reporters about what his father and LeBron James were talking about today.
So again, if you remember yesterday, I talked about when it came to him as well. His dad posting an 11-minute video of basically the season of Baker Mayfield not throwing it to him. And I didn't think it was coincidence, as I think they absolutely would have loved to have gone somewhere else. LeBron James, Damian Lillard, other NBA players, not NFL players, NBA players said free OBJ. It's nice of them. So I don't know that whole situation and what to make of it. I think the Saints made phone calls. But Sean was asked this morning, did they know this? Of course they did, right? I mean, that's why you're making those calls. And this is his response to, did knowing that Michael Thomas was going to be out influence perhaps how you approached the NFL trade deadline yesterday?
When the trade deadline comes, we'll take a peek at what we think are players that may be available via trade. Like, we look at them. And maybe in some positions we won't look, but if you feel like you have a good team, you're paying attention to really all positions just based on who might be trading players. And so we've looked at receivers in the trade deadline. We've looked at quarterbacks. We've looked at defensive tackles. We've looked at a number of players just because there's a feeling that this team might be willing to move this player, tight end, receiver, safety. And so, you approach that a little if you have an interest like free agency, where you look and do your homework. It's hard because it's in season, so it's taken away. If you're looking at film of a receiver, you're still getting ready for a game that week. And so that's not unusual. That's as far as that went. Like, there was never any, well, we got down to the wire and just couldn't agree to a price. Nothing relative to any position, really. I mean, that would be that.
So, very interesting on that, because he kind of makes it seem like, look, we didn't want to go in that direction. Listen to me. I'm okay with that. I'm not saying don't go get OBJ. Maybe you can turn it around. What I'm saying is, as I expressed yesterday for a number of reasons, I don't know who the quarterback is next year for the Saints. I still don't. I don't know how the rest of the season is going to go. I said at the beginning of the year, potential playoff team, success, pat on the back, pop champagne bottles if this guy gets this team to the playoffs. It's the first year post Drew. It's the first year post quote unquote the window. You're not at the championship caliber level as other teams that are stacked and all that. And it's okay. That's not talking down on them. That's not you hate the Saints. That's just being realistic. You had to make a ton of cap cuts. You had to put in players that you didn't know how they were going to do in their roles. You drafted a class that you hoped would make a play. You have an incredible class. Peyton Turner's been hurt most of the year. I like him. Can't wait to see him healthy. But other than him, Pete Werner, massive pickup in draft pick. Paulson Adebo's a starting cornerback. You've done well in your draft. Let's just see where you are and then evaluate in the offseason how to consistently, again, be a playoff team. I'm okay with not just being spur of the moment, not even spur, just, hey, fine, you want this? Because Cleveland apparently was asking for a ton. Well, Gus, what's another round? But look, how important are those draft picks? Peyton Turner, Pete Werner, Paulson Adebo, Ian Book, Landon Young, Kevon Baker. That's your draft class. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with not giving the farm or doing that. It's different than when you had Drew. When you had Drew, it was all chips in. Now, Jordan just sent me this. It's very interesting. Matt Miller, draft scout, ESPN NFL draft analyst on Twitter, kind of posting that, you know, again, I'm okay if certain aspects or certain ways that get planned and you look at certain players and receivers. But what if that situation in Cleveland doesn't go well? In other words, what if they actually have to release them? Right? Well, Matt Miller says, we might be adding Odell Beckham Jr. to the being released list. Now, he just tweeted that. Now, Field Yates says, if the Browns release OBJ, he then would be subject to waivers. If claimed, a new team would inherit his deal. $8 million this year, $13.75 million next year. That's just not including the $1 million roster bonus, workout bonus of $250 million. 2023, $13.75 million. Now again, subject to waivers. Where's the Saints on the waiver list wire? Will they release him? If that's the case, then the Browns are dumb. You could have gotten something for him. But it does look like it's a tenuous situation over there. I'll step aside. We'll bring in Larry Holder of The Athletic. And we'll talk to him about this and more as we continue. Just underway on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. DraftKings Sportsbook is coming soon to Louisiana, and it won't be long until you can bet on all of your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. To celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving customers $100 in free bets when you sign up before they go live. No deposit required. DraftKings is bringing their experience as a leader in daily fantasy sports to the sports betting world and have created one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code LAROSE when you sign up. Those who sign up right now will get $100 in free bets to use once mobile sports betting hits Louisiana. That's code LAROSE to get $100 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-770-STOP. 21 and over. Louisiana only. Availability varies by parish. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ory.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
God, I'm awesome.
Larry can wear his hair a few different ways. He's got great hair texture.
Larry is never going to be bald with this head of hair. Larry has great skin.
Striking, but yet approachable.
God, I'm awesome.
Wow. Pulling it from the depths of the archives. Way to go, buddy. There he is. The original open for none other than Sir Lawrence of the Holder. Larry Holder from The Athletic joins us. Larry, you must have enjoyed that today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And slow news week, huh? What's going on, really, right? With the same 34 to the NFL, right?
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing, and I heard you on Matt's show yesterday, too, kind of look at it. And it's interesting because I think on a normal year, last year, kind of a few years before that, if we would have had a week where you lose the starting quarterback and your top receivers done for the season, it'd have been all-out panic, right? Like, you'd have the John Goodman peace out, jump off the ferry thing. I mean, people would have been losing it. But I almost feel like we've been conditioned into it based off of this same season. You get that sense and feel like I'm not seeing Twitter melt down right now.
No, I'm not seeing it either. And I think it's just because the Saints have overcome these issues. I mean, look, they've overcome Michael Thomas for a year and a half now, given how little he played last year. And when he did play, he was still banged up in those couple of games. And you're basically just used to not having Michael Thomas. Now, that said, you're not used to losing your starting quarterback for the entire season. And I also think, though, that fans and people around the league, they have known that Sean Payton can figure things out and get his team to figure things out. And it's not like that Taysom Hill hasn't started games before, and it's not like if they go this route, if they go with Trevor Siemian, it's not like he hasn't started games before, and they just kind of figure it out and lean on their calling cards, which is a really good defense, their offensive line, Alvin Kamara. You know, it's not like the formula is going to change in that sense moving forward. So this, I think you're right, Gus, that people aren't totally panicked because the Saints have figured these things out in one game. And it's been kind of that way all year. They've been patchworking, and now they got to do it at quarterback, and of course without Michael Thomas.
I know you're going to say that I'm copying you, but actually I heard you yesterday kind of echo on Moscona's show what I had said as well. I'm okay with not giving the farm or making moves where you're giving a bunch of assets, especially from the defensive side, because this is just a season that I think you try to find what your next foundational pieces are. Clearly your draft picks are important to you. Look at this year's draft class, Larry. You found starters, you found depth, and we still haven't really seen Peyton Turner's been injured, and I like him. I think he has good potential. And you know what? You still don't know who your quarterback is next year. Is it Jameis? Is it Ian Book? Are you going for Rodgers and Wilson? I don't know that. So, look, you make it to the postseason, you pat each other on the back over there in airline, pop champagne battles, and just be happy. And then figure it out to make another run, I think, next year. And that's just kind of how I feel. So let's see how the season plays out. And I think that's how they approached it yesterday.
Well, they're definitely not throwing the season away. I mean, I can tell you
right.
That. I mean, yeah, but look, we all knew regardless this was going to be a 1 year basically tryout for whoever won the quarterback job, because both Jameis and Taysom are under 1 year contracts. And so with that, do you have enough of a resume to go with on Jameis to feel good about having him be the starter next year? And I don't think they have that answer. And so I think while they're going to try their best to win games all year and try to make a run and patchwork it up, I mean, there's no doubt they're going to reevaluate
right
after the season. And, you know, I have not been shy about saying that I don't think there's any doubt that the Saints will look to every avenue to have a quarterback, whether it's the draft, whether it's a trade for big-time players like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're going to – look, they will – they know how important quarterback is, and if they can get a really good one, they're going to try their best to do that. So it's definitely something that you play out this season, and then after that, you definitely reevaluate everything that's happened over this past year and what could be available to you outside of the building.
not to say I'm almost like Fletcher's trade machine here, but I'm looking at the season and I'm like, man, I'm trying to get Russell Wilson, right? I mean, that team's probably not going to be a playoff team. Maybe they're more apt to part ways and start fresh. You don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. Clearly that guy can still play. He looks like he doesn't want to be back. So those are probably my first two calls to get. And look, Matt played sound from the Mobile talk show yesterday. Phillip Rivers says, give me a call. I'm ready to go. He thinks he can be ready on a game week. If he would have got called Monday, he would have been ready Sunday. So do you go that route, Larry? Do you go the draft as he touched on? Do you roll like Ian Book next year? A guy that just manages the offense and see what he can do. What do you think the Saints do? I feel with that defense that we've seen this year, I feel veteran, man. I feel why not try for one of these bigger names first, because that, I think, immediately makes you a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I mean, what do they do? I think that's hard to say. You know, so when you it depends on what's available. Like you mentioned Russell Wilson. I bring him up specifically because, look, when he was unhappy with what was going on in Seattle, right, his agent put out there that he would accept a trade to New Orleans. So I think that's an avenue you would definitely look. Like, I'm leaving out Deshaun Watson in this conversation. I just don't think, you know, you don't do anything for him until you figure out what his legal issues are. And so, but I do think that, you know, if you're going to talk about a veteran quarterback, the first one would be, in my mind, Russell Wilson. I'm with you there.
Speaking with Larry Holder of The Athletic. So, look, it is what it is now from this point moving forward. What do you think Sean does this week? Do we see Taysom Hill at quarterback? Does he go back to sort of roll? I said yesterday, I think you're rolling with Simeon, especially based on this, Larry. I look at that game on Sunday, and with limited reps and snaps, 10 different Saints receivers caught at least one pass. That's more like the Saints offense of old, right, where the ball's being spread around. So I guess my point is he knows the offense, and he knows kind of veteran things to sort of do. I maybe kind of roll with that. And I know everyone yesterday nationally was like, you can't win a playoff game with that guy and all this stuff. But over the next three games, the Eagles, the Falcons, Tennessee sandwiched in between, those are two teams I think you can beat walking on the field. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, as far as who's going to start, look, I think Peyton alluded to it in his post-game press conference where he said, look, you know, if Taysom was healthy, Trevor would have played today, and then he would go with Taysom Hill. So I think he's probably going to go with Taysom Hill. I understand, though, the argument to have Trevor Siemian play and then use Taysom Hill in his normal role, but I think Sean Payton views Taysom Hill as his backup. Now, look, I don't know which way he's going to go. I feel like he will go with Taysom Hill, but, I mean, look, he's, you know, that's I'm sure Sean's not going to reveal that. And so I think, though, that, you know, it's because if you get Taysom Hill back, you get a weapon. And, you know, Trevor Siemian has won games in the NFL. But, like, I understand both arguments. But I think Sean Payton basically alluded to what he's going to be doing. And you know, I would think it would be Taysom Hill. But I wouldn't bet money on it. Because,
right,
you know, who knows? Sean Payton might change his mind. And I get it. Like, so you know, it's just going to be a tough call for him.
It's interesting interpretation-wise, because when I heard that, too, and I know the bite you're talking about, I thought he was referencing that next week Taysom would be two, as in he would go with Taysom, because he was saying that this week Siemian was his backup, and that next week it would have been Taysom, as in Taysom's the backup next week. That's how I took it.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Hey, it's that's the thing. I didn't – when he said it, I didn't really write about it because it wasn't clear. I don't know. Hey, it's regardless, you look at this thing and you say, okay, Sean, I mean, you've done, you know, you've won games with all kinds of different quarterbacks in the last few years. You can do it again. But like I said, it'll probably be something to where I know we're talking about quarterback, but Saints defense, you just got to keep playing lights out. That offensive line's got to allow them to run the football, you know. And so the philosophy doesn't change regardless of who the quarterback is.
Exactly.
You know, They've been conservative with Jameis in the first place. But
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously that's the talking point. I mean, who's going to be quarterback and how well it can do.
But we'll find out. Practice is underway, and obviously I guarantee you the first text and tweets that you will see will be about what it is. But for what it's worth, here it is, 7 seconds from the game.
Well, that would be my second throw in a game. If Taysom been playing today, it would have been Trevor. It would have been Taysom next week.
See, I hear that. I'm like, it would have been Taysom next week as, like, he would be the backup. I don't know. Because, I don't know. That's how I heard it. But we'll find out literally in about 2 hours and practice ends and the Twitter embargo is lifted. Larry, when you look at this game, man, I kind of look at it as a very big game for the Saints in terms of this is when you got to go get. And I know Atlanta's playing better and this and that, but, again, as I mentioned, two of the next three, I think you can go get. That will put you at 7 wins, Larry. 10 left. You win half of those. I think 10 gets you into the postseason. So if I can get 2 of the next 3, that next quarter of games, Bills, Cowboys, Bucks with the Jets sandwiched in at New York on December 12th, which could be cold and snowy, that's a tougher stretch for me. I think if you're the Saints, I'm not going to say I'm going Charles Barkley guarantee. I think if the Saints get 2 of the next 3, I think they're a playoff team.
I can't disagree
with you.
Do
it, Larry. Come on, Larry.
I mean, they're 5-2, and they're playing good football. And, like I said, it's not like Jameis Winston is, like, remarkably better than the other quarterbacks that they have.
Right.
He's just the best option. So I still think this is – yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a playoff team. I'm curious to see. I mean, obviously, we've seen, say, when Taysom Hill goes up against stiffer competition as far as throwing the football, it's a little bit more challenging. That happened last year when he played the Eagles. They had that was the best pass defense they played, and he struggled. And then against the Broncos, remember, they didn't want to do anything mm-hmm. with him. They were like, just don't turn it over. I think the Tennessee game's a winnable game. I mean, look, they don't have Derrick Henry anymore. And it's not like the Saints are bad at stopping the run in the first place. So I think mm-hmm. Tennessee's a winnable game. So, I don't think because of your depth at quarterback and you've done it before, I think that they can get through this. And then, obviously we're going to be talking way down the line, you get into the playoffs and just see what happens. But still, I definitely think this team, the drop-off isn't so severe that you like the season's over. And I don't think the Saints see it that way.
I got 30 seconds here, but the reports this morning that the Browns and Odell Beckham Jr. are in talks to see what they can possibly do. Matt Miller says he could be released. Field Yates posts the numbers and the cap numbers. That would be the case. Bottom line, if he's released, Larry, as Matt Miller says, he's subject to the waiver wire. The Saints aren't close to the top, right?
I mean, no. I mean, you're 5-2. I mean, so you're down the line. But and other teams could claim them. But like maybe other teams don't want the headache. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we know that the Saints, the reporting around was they were interested in him and trading for him. So if he's released, I mean, that's a different story. So it's and they need receiver help. So it wouldn't if he is released. I'm sure they would try to make a play for him and try to figure it out. But if you claim him, then you're claiming him off of his current contract. So that's another story. If he goes through waivers on claim and he's a free agent, then he could just get a veteran minimum deal. So that's mm-hmm. also the problem if you claim him. So that's you got to be aware of that.
$8 million this year, $13 million the next 2 years is how it would be. So thank you, man.
And it's not
appreciate
like the Saints
it.
Have a ton of money.
No. I hear you, man. Thank you for your time, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, Goosey, bud.
Larry Holder, The Athletic. Quick break. We come back. Scott Prather from ESPN 1420 in Lafayette next on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start, and we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back, and we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-511-3535. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
An incredible 24 hours last night. Pelicans taking on Phoenix. They got up 20. And then, they lost. 112-100. Devin Booker could foul and make shots, do whatever he wanted. CP me. Did you see what happened at halftime in the game? Did you catch Charles Barkley?
Zion warming up. We don't have him. It could be another 2-3 weeks. But, Chuck, you had a visceral reaction.
It looked like me and Shaq had a baby. I quit. I gotta get that going, man. What did it look like, Chuck? Me and you had a baby.
That is Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal making fun of Zion Williamson as we bring in Scott Prather from ESPN 1420. Scott, we'll get to the Michael Thomas news, but that's where we are with Pelicans basketball. They dropped to 1-7, and Zion Williamson is being referred to as the baby love child between Chuck and Shaq. You add that to Mark Stein yesterday publicly and nationally saying, look, a lot of this is on him and his weight. Vince Carter last week was like that. Mark Spears of The Undefeated and Brian Windhorst of ESPN in their podcast on Monday called into question his health. Dude, it is what it is. You and I have talked about it on your show and our show about that. And that, look, it's kind of open season right now, Vaughn.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I hear that clip, man. It's a little bit of both, I guess. But a foot injury that's not healing properly for a big man that is overweight. Like, you don't – I'm not a doctor, neither are you. Mm-hmm. Played one in a short film once. But the reality is it doesn't take a doctor to know that that is bad. That's a bad sign. It's ominous. And – he can't keep his weight down as much because he's hurt. He can. There are ways to do it. There are ways to rehab. The reality is he is ballooned. He is too heavy. And, the fact that the Pelicans are continually more transparent with the member of the national media after not being transparent with the local media for weeks, and the fan base is kind of left to, at this point, assume the worst. Yeah. Whether or not it is the worst, mm-hmm. that's usually going to be the assumption because of how the franchise is operated. And so, it's like I told you before the season, I want this team to succeed so much. I love basketball. I love the NBA. I love what the Pelicans could be in New Orleans and in this state. But I have been programmed to simply assume the worst is going to happen. And it doesn't always, but a lot of times it does, unfortunately, Gus. And, right now this team, imagine if they had had a healthy Zion from the start, how different this team would be right now, what their record would be, what the excitement level might be. I mean, I'm telling you, the excitement level for the Pelicans when Zion made his debut a couple of years ago, and they had a nice little fun run before the bubble, and the excitement last year when he was just going off over a two-month stretch and just doing ungodly things, the excitement level was there. It was here in Lafayette. I mean, Gus, I'm not lying. Between what UL's doing, between this insane Saints season, between college football and everything else happening, I have gotten – this is the least amount of Pelicans calls I've gotten since, I mean, you know, maybe the 66-game season when Monty Williams was just working with, you know, scraps and Aaron Gordon played like nine games. I mean, that's where the interest level is right now, and that's a shame. It shouldn't be. You got the number one overall pick, and by all accounts, generational talent. We were all thrilled, excited. Everybody remembers the shot outside of Harris. And now here we are in November of 2021, and the Pelicans are, I mean, where are they on the radar? I'm not talking specifically New Orleans, Gus, but across the state, where you really have to spread your wings if you're the Pelicans. You really got to bring in all of those potential fans to truly, really, really grow your product. And the interest level, it's just not there right now, and this Zion situation isn't helping.
You know, Scott, one of the other aspects of this here as well, and I'm not going to say that this is how I think because, my goodness, it's just November 3rd, but I'm watching the game and they show a shot of, you know, B.I. sitting next to Zion on the bench. They're in street clothes. This team is playing hard. They're trying. I mean, they were up 20 absolutely. On the Suns. There's no doubt you can see that. But I'm just sitting there and like for a split second, maybe it was the wine I had last night, Scott, but I'm sitting there going, you know what? Shut it down. I mean, like not even shut it down. Like honestly, like I said this when Griff first said the Zion thing. I'm like, remember I told you when you came on the show and I said on yours, I said, take all of October and get healthy. Like do nothing but cardio, get in shape and whatever. So I'm not, of the rush him out there. Look, obviously with the history already, with the size he is, you literally, honestly, I'm okay with not bringing him back until that guy is literally 100% healthy and about 20 pounds lighter. And quite honestly, if it's not till January at that point, then maybe you shut him down and then you say, hey, literally spend the entire year getting in shape and healthy and look like the guy that you did when you came back from Duke. And you know what? We'll have a high draft pick. We'll get some scoring. I mean, I know that's a horrible way to look at it, but you know what? Schmidt Dua, Christian Clark, a couple other people are covering the Pels, have been posting about that this morning.
It is, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet, but God, we're only in November and that thinking's out there. And, you know, my thought process when you bring that up goes to like his family and this idea that the organization has, you know, been keeping things quiet on behalf of them. And then you remember the article by Christian Clark that, you know, might have had a few discrepancies, but overall I thought was really solid and to the point. And the fact is his family was upset that they had him on a burst and, you know, a minutes restriction and the burst count and all that other stuff that came into play his rookie year. Like Zion's inner circle does not strike me as the group that's going to say, yeah, we're great with shutting down for the season and all this other stuff. And you've got an organization that continues to sort of bend over backwards to try to appease for them by keeping things quiet. And again, getting back to what we were saying earlier, sort of leading people to unfortunately just assume the worst about this thing.
Speaking with Scott Prather, ESPN 1420 over in Lafayette. It's a morning show, and sir, I got to imagine this morning the news of Michael Thomas hitting right towards the end of your show, his tweets, the Ian Rappaport post, all of that. What was the reaction from Saints fans?
Disappointment, not a surprise from me. A couple of fans, you know, they were acting like their dog just got shot. I'm talking just, oh my God, what the heck, what's going to happen next? We can never have anything nice. I wasn't really surprised. I mean, I think you were the first one to ask me maybe 2 weeks ago, who do we see first, Zion Williamson or Michael Thomas? And I said Zion Williamson because the way that Sean Payton said that this information was really new, the way he's been responding to some of the questions about Thomas's ankle the last 2 weeks, I think he probably knew a little bit more. And really, at this point, that doesn't even matter, right? Whether they just got this information the other day or it's been kind of pointing in that direction for a while, it's really unfortunate. And this team continues to overcome obstacles. It's amazing. They're 5-2. They're easy to root for. And for that matter, you know, the Pelicans are easy to root for. You mentioned how hard they play and Willie Green. Like, I was rooting like crazy for him last night. I hate to sound so negative. But the Thomas news, not a big surprise, honestly. And he didn't make a move at the trade deadline. And Peyton is, he's good enough and he's arrogant enough to feel like he can figure out, find ways to win despite the injuries. And to his credit, he has, you know. So I think this is what you're getting here is this receiving core. And I know there was a report out there that maybe we're trying to go after Odell. You don't want that salary and give up draft capital. When Odell wasn't the player he was in 2016. Maybe they cut him. He clears waivers. I don't know. I think there are a couple of, like, a lot of wishful thinking out there. I think the reality is that receiver, this is what you're dealing with. This is what you got this year. And you got Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill at quarterback, and you have a great defense. And, I mean, they can win 5 more games, right? This can be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And to say that about this year's team, with all of the issues that they've had, hats off to them, man. Hats off to Sean Payton. Hats off to this staff. Hats off to the guys that are there that continue to find a way. Because, Gus, if I had told you and all your listeners before Sunday's game,
sure,
the biggest offensive play from scrimmage today is going to be a 38-yard pass from Trevor Siemian to Kevin White, everybody would have said, oh, God, you know, the Saints are about to lose by 40. They're going to have to put in Siemian in garbage time, and they're not going to be able to do anything. Instead, it was a crucial play on a crucial scoring drive,
right,
at the start of the second half. And I don't know, man, they keep finding ways, and this is just another hurdle for them to overcome.
Final thing for Scott Prate from ESPN 1420 Lafayette. Sir, you know what? Maybe two questions real quick. And we'll end on the Cajuns, obviously, because they play on Thursday. Who do you start? I mean, we'll find out here, right? We'll find out at practice when the practice tweet embargo is lifted around 2:00. We'll find out who will be the starter. Who would you start?
I would start Siemian. Now, I wrote an article this week on our website about all of the options, ranking them. It was number one, but I made it clear, just the fact that it's number one tells you that the realistic options aren't great. And I you know, Gus, I don't know that I'm with you. I think Peyton's going to be coy and say it could be either one, because I think Hill might be back at practice today. But I would start Siemian because Hill Siemian's not a guy that's going to make plays when a play breaks down. That was one of the things about him when he started in Denver, right? Option A, B, C on a route. If he hits one of those, not bad, serviceable. Play breaks down, you need him to make something happen. Not exactly his skill set. You would think that as a quarterback, that would be a great skill set for Taysom Hill. But what we saw last year in the 4 games he started, and then in the preseason when he was competing for the starting job, his wherewithal or his knowledge of when to do run, all right, when to make something happen, it hasn't been there. Like, he's got really good football instincts when he's playing positions other than quarterback. And that's not to say that he's terrible at quarterback, right? Because I get it, he went 3-1 last year. Granted, 2 of the 3 was against the terrible Atlanta team, and that other one was in Denver when they played a practice squad receiver quarterback. So I think because of your lack of playmakers, right, aside from Kamara and Ingram, you need Hill in his Swiss Army knife role now more than ever. And I think a game plan catered towards Siemian, look, defenses are going to adjust, right? It's not like he's going to be going deep, deep down the field a ton. And so they're going to be defending the middle of the field more. But I think having a coach like Peyton game plan, you know, he's going to take some sacks. He's going to make some bad throws at times. He is not going to be, you know, an all-pro type quarterback. But I think he's the best of an unfortunate situation moving forward. And I think Taysom is going to bring more value to your offense in his other role than as the starting quarterback.
By the way, as we say goodbye to you, sir, Michael Silver used to be over there at Sports Illustrated, covers the NFL, just posted, for what it's worth, Whatever drama that's playing out between Odell Beckham Jr. and the Browns seems to be behind the scenes. Coaches and players tell me Beckham has actually been really good, that he's handled everything well, puts on a brave face and keeps his mouth shut. But here's the issue. Right before that, earlier today, Browns coach Kevin Stefanski told his players, per Michael Silver, that Odell Beckham Jr. is essentially not on the team right now and that the receiver has been told to stay home. Look, the waiver wire, all this other stuff, there's a ton of teams, including the Bengals and others, that can pick him up before the Saints. I said yesterday, there's so much drama with this guy. If it doesn't work there, didn't work in the Giants, you have a locker room right now that, I don't know if that's where you want to go. Look, clearly the Saints made a phone call, though. So, but that's the latest. So, yeah, essentially so disgruntled, he was told to stay home. And if you're the Browns, why didn't you trade him then, if that's the case? If you're literally telling them to stay home, why didn't you trade him?
Yeah, it's not like I could be wrong. It's not like the 0-2 Buccaneers Keyshawn Johnson situation, because I think that came after the trade deadline when they basically just sent him home for the season. So this is different. I mean, they could have at least gotten something. But does the team pick him up off waivers and say, we're going to go ahead and take that $8.1 million salary this year? The Saints are, what, $710,000 above the cap? I mean, even if he cleared waivers, I don't know that they're going to want to sign him to a long-term. So you could say, oh, well, you could just get a contract done that's back in it. I think it would be more of, hey, come and play on the minimum the rest of the season and try to help us. And so, and I don't know that Odell would do that either. So I don't think he's going to end up being in New Orleans this year. I could be wrong. But this feels like Cleveland just sent him home, and he's probably asking for his release.
Yeah.
Maybe they agree to some kind of buyout. Right, within the contract.
I would have traded him for something. Somebody would have given you something yesterday. You know? Anyway.
Something. I mean, you could have just gotten conditional picks.
Yeah. And, at Scott Mimic is the way to follow you on Twitter. Sir, I got to hit the break. Apologies.
All good.
Thank you as always. I will talk to you on your show this week, and I'll talk to you on our show next week. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Can't wait, brother. Thank you. Yep.
So much to get into. We didn't even get to the Cajuns. They play on Thursday. But we'll speak with Jay Walker, voice of the Raging Cajuns, coming up tomorrow as the Cajuns play. Quick break, quick top stories. We'll hear from the intern next on ESPN New Orleans.
Bye, bye, love. Bye, bye, love.
It's the Black Friday sales event at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Get to the Pels here next hour. Hey, Coach Willie Fritz scheduled to try to give us a buzz here and fit us in yesterday. He got a little busy during his 1:30 segment. Sean Fox from up there in Fun Row. That's normally 1:30. Matty Hudak will come in. We'll chime in at the 2 o'clock. Ralph Marlboro will join us at 2:15. Time now.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
Dude, it's been a busy morning, Jordan. I can barely get to everything. I really sort of got to get to, including some very interesting top stories for sure that have to do with the world of the NFL. What do you have for us today?
Yeah, so a few hours ago, Ian Rappaport over on Twitter, the Packers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, it looked like he wasn't going to be playing because of COVID-19, and then it later comes out that Aaron Rodgers is unvaccinated. So there was a lot of confusion there because, you know, at the beginning of the season, one of his statements, he said that he was vaccinated.
Well, he said he was immunized.
So I think there's a lot of confusion right now over on social media and who gets special treatment in the NFL and what's up with Aaron Rodgers getting that special treatment.
Yeah, that is a very big topic right now because it does look like the NFL kind of, I wouldn't say looked the other way, but they looked the other way when it came to the Packers on that, or the Packers fudged it to where the NFL wasn't aware on that. Either way, that is an interesting storyline to kind of look at. So look, Jordan Love, because the third string is the guy that apparently brought it into the quarterback room. Jordan Love is scheduled to start against the Chiefs this weekend. What else you got for us?
Yeah, so Adam Schefter, a few minutes ago, putting out a story about the Henry Ruggs. Raiders released him last night. Apparently, he was driving at, over probably 156 miles an hour just seconds before he crashed his car, leaving one dead. So, horrible news coming out of Las Vegas.
Did you see the details of that? The blood was drawn within 2 hours, people. His blood alcohol level was 0.161. That's more than twice the legal limit over there. Illegally in possession of a firearm. And as Jordan just mentioned, 156 killed a woman and her dog. Yeah, that's why he was released. And likely he's going to have a new home, you know? Got to be smart, man. Got to be smart.
Yeah, absolutely. The horrible news. I mean, just, you know, kind of taking someone else's life like that, horrible thing just to hear, you know, could have easily been prevented.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Jordan, get quick takes here. You heard Larry. You've heard Scott there as well. Do you get a sense and feel, I know you've been on Twitter all morning, you're monitoring all the different news and aspects of it. That's the Odell Beckham Jr. thing continues to go there as well. But when it comes to Michael Thomas, I don't feel like Saints Twitter is melting down. I don't almost feel like that. As a matter of fact, some of our responses to your question of the day, Jordan, have been kind of what I've expected based on this. Battleship VA says he was pretty much a non-factor all season anyway, man. MT may never play another snap in a Saints uniform at this rate. That's also being discussed here as well. Do you think the Saints part ways with him at the end of the year?
With Michael Thomas, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I've seen a lot of responses over on Twitter saying that, you know, it's kind of like what I'm thinking. The Saints have been able to win without him. I don't think that there is too much to panic because you saw what the Saints have done up until this point of the season, be able to come out with big-time wins without, you know, big-time wide receivers in Michael Thomas. I wouldn't say that, yeah, we're going to part ways with him after this season. I could still see him sticking around with the team. But, I mean, who's going to be your other wide receiver if you do get rid of him? So I think those are the questions that the Saints are going to have to ask and answer when the season ends.
When it comes to the Pelicans, they fall to 1-7. They lose 112-100. They were up by 20 points in this game and just failed to make the plays there towards the end. Devin Booker went off after having a horrible game, really, for most of the game. Chris Paul kind of went off, but it was just kind of one of those things, again, you lack the firepower. And Jordan Schmidt doing others. I don't know if some of it is joking or not, but You know, I'm watching that game and I see B.I. and Zion sitting in street clothes on the bench, man. You're 1-7. And as I said it yesterday on the show, I'm not being ugly. And I'm not being doom and gloom. I'm just sitting here and being realistic. If he doesn't come back till December and this team is not at 10 wins, I almost honestly just say, you know what, take the rest of the season to get in shape. I want the Zion from Duke. I want the Zion from the guy when he met Drew Brees in the indoor facility. And if the worst thing that happens is you pick in the top three and get another, you know, significant score or top player. I mean, you've seen some good ones in the last couple of years since Zion's come in. You know, I mean, Anthony Edwards, what he's doing over there in Minnesota. I know that's not what the fan base wants. And I know that's not what the organization wants. I'm just being realistic. You got to get to at least 35. At least 35. And even if he comes back in January, are you going to be able to, I mean, you're looking at like Schmidt Dewis said, he had to win like 30 or 40 games. Like, you see that happening? So, I don't know, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of was texting you this morning. I mean, you think that he should be a threat in the league. People shouldn't be making fun of him like Charles Barkley and Shaq are. I mean, I know that they make fun of people all the time, but they also give them their, you know, players their due respect. And when you have someone like Shaq and Charles kind of saying, oh, yeah, we're having a baby, looks like one of our babies, I feel like you should kind of take that a little bit more personally. Instead, you see him post stuff on Instagram of, you know, rap Xbox, him listening to music, him on the sidelines, what he's wearing on the sidelines, pictures of, you know, his former teammates over at Duke. And it just calls into question, like we were hearing the other day. I mean, the only time you see Zion is on a commercial and he's eating some kind of snack. So it is very frustrating if you're a Pelicans fan and you're seeing everything else.
I'm way late. It's 101. You've talked through the entire top of the hour break. I love you, bud. We'll talk again 1:45.
Sounds good.
There he goes, Jordan the intern. Quick break. We'll come back with hour two next on ESPN New Orleans. DraftKings Sportsbook is coming soon to Louisiana, and it won't be long until you can bet on all of your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. To celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving customers $100 in free.